And he technically is still on the payroll till the end of the month anyway, right, even though he's not running anything. You don't expect to see him around the district office, but to clean his stuff out. But so, yeah, that's unpalatable as well. Follow-up questions there. But I'm more interested. All right, Posley's done. Fine. What's next?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
8:13 as we get going here on a Wednesday morning. Did somebody find a finger or not? A disturbing claim for the family of Shante Robinson regarding the investigation into her murder, her dismemberment, and now this counterclaim from authorities who are investigating the case. Where is the claim coming from? Told you this week, actually, earlier this week, the family of 19-year-old Shante Robinson filed a wrongful death civil lawsuit against the man who's currently being held accused of the crime. Shante, of course, missing for days. Later, her body parts discovered in various places in the city of Milwaukee. Also, first on the shores of Lake Michigan, what, Warnemont Park in Milwaukee County?
Yep.
And then, I don't know, have they positively identified the remains found in Waukegan?
In Waukegan, Illinois. Don't believe those have been positively identified, although it appears to be that they were those of Sade's.
So, Maxwell Anderson, with whom she'd apparently gone on one date, arrested, charged, still being held, $5 million bond. That's the criminal case, but the family now in a separate civil action seeking damages.
Very traumatic. It's emotionally daily, dealing with trauma, me and my daughter.
And Sade's mother, Sheena Scarborough, we've heard from her before. She was there with the family attorney. Attorney says, you know, they're all struggling.
But at this point, right now, her child is being led by everyone but her. The DA's office is leading part of the story. The news is leading part of the story. She wants some control back. She wants some peace back. She wants to be able to say that this is who my child was.
So Dr. Ken Harris, former Milwaukee police lieutenant, also works over at 101.7 The Truth Down the Hall, joined us earlier on Wisconsin's Morning News. We asked him his take on this finger situation. Is there one? Where did it come from?
There's absolutely no reason why the sheriff's office would hide body parts, but yet we're finding, you know, signs of body parts all over southeastern Wisconsin and northern Illinois, but we would hide the fact that it's in a house on Oklahoma. It doesn't make any sense. Sounds like it's just a rumor that got out of hand, and now they're hearing things. And
so let's get into the question over the finger. The lawsuit alleges that a finger belonging to Shante Robinson was discovered on the property of Maxwell Anderson's home. Remember, there is nothing in the criminal complaint that was issued weeks ago about any body parts, even any DNA evidence belonging to Shante Robinson that was discovered at Anderson's home.
But there had been a lot of rumors swirling about the house.
There was initially the blood that was found in various two places, in the bedding and another wall, and that blood was tested and did not come back matching DNA of Shante Robinson.
The sheriff was even asked about a sex dungeon.
Yes.
That there was talk of a sex dungeon, and she shot that down.
So a lot of things swirling around out there, and the family has been critical of law enforcement, believing that they released the crime scene too quickly. The home has even since been sold, and they are questioning whether authorities have not been diligent enough in their search for evidence. In fairness, we've asked some questions about that as well. You had this period right after her leg was initially discovered there in Warnemont Park, where then there was a search and various other searches, but then you had family and friends of Shante Robinson continuing their search there in Warnemont Park and other places, and they found additional evidence. They were the one calling authorities saying, well, I found something else that could be relevant to this case. Maybe you want to come out here and get this. So I'm not suggesting that for sure there should have been a more robust search, but I think those were fair questions for the family to ask. Why are we turning up evidence that y'all didn't find? Fair enough. But how about this? The family saying that a finger was discovered after the house was sold. So you had, not only was it released as a crime scene, but the house has since changed hands. The house is sold, and they're saying, well, after that, they found more evidence. Well, here's the thing. Authorities absolutely and vehemently deny that that's the case.
Right.
I'll get you some of the statement from the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, who felt they had to answer to this. And you feel them trying to be very civil and dancing around the feelings of this family. They don't want to insult this family that's been victimized. And they have a lot of language in there. In fact, I'll read you the last line. Our thoughts and prayers continue to go out to Ms. Robinson's family. And again, the investigation into her death is ongoing. So they're walking delicately here, but they've been accused of something, basically concealing this piece of evidence or perhaps releasing the crime scene too early. And here's what the sheriff's office said. At no point during this ongoing investigation into Robinson's death has a finger or any other body part been discovered by the sheriff's office, the Milwaukee Police Department, or any other involved law enforcement agency at Anderson's home or on his property. Nor have any reports been filed by any private citizen with MCSO, that's the sheriff's office, or any other involved law enforcement agency about a non-law enforcement discovery of a finger or any other body part on Anderson's property. It goes on, saying the medical examiner's office doesn't have it. Nothing's been turned in. There's nothing here. And that's what the sheriff's office, which is leading the investigation, says. So did they just make it up? How does that end up in a civil lawsuit?
And that's where Harris comes in, Ken, saying that he believes it's likely just a rumor that ran, like many other rumors have been running on this story. Did ask him a little bit more about the family and what their motivation might be with the lawsuit.
I would think the family wants to control the name, image, and likeness of Sade Robinson. So, you know, sometimes movie, documentary makers and all that will take court records and use that to build their story and fictionalize it to a degree, you know, based on the true story, right?
Sure, right.
And so now they're heading it off at the pass, right? We're saying, hey, anything that has to do with this, it's ours. And if you want to use the name, then you need to.
Because this case is so salacious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. With how hot true crime is right now as a genre, whether it be a docuseries or even made-up stories or whatever, like, people are super into that. So what Dr. Ken is, I guess, suggesting here is that somebody's probably already snooping around on this, trying to figure out what story can we build out and how can we profit off of this.
But when you read that statement from the sheriff's office, you read everything at play, right? Meaning, like, it's not written in a way where maybe a house inspector found it.
Right.
I mean, right? They kind of detail specifically that there's been no reports from any private personnel or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's not like it's cleverly written
right.
In a way where the sheriff's office did not find this.
We were not aware of it. Yeah. No, here's the last one.
I mean, it indicates everyone.
No such body part allegedly discovered at Anderson's home has been reported or turned over to the Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office, as would be standard operating procedure, were such a discovery made. I suppose to that end, if somebody has this piece of evidence,
why wouldn't they turn it over?
Right. Why wouldn't they turn it over? And another thing, if it's not an investigative agency, if someone just has this and it's in their possession, you can't use that. That's not going to be admissible in court.
Right,
I suppose you could use it in the civil case where the rules are a little bit different. But you can't now, after you've broken chain of custody or whatever, then turn that piece of evidence over weeks later or what it might be and expect that to be admitted in court. So I'm just confused as to why that claim was made, I suppose. Dr. Ken's explanation is relevant in that maybe this is just a rumor that somebody heard, throw it in there, and then it's on record as we've heard this.
And in this case, that's not unprecedented, or like we said, for crazy
so
rumors
stuff
to be
flying around there. Folks text us all the time. Well, I heard it was this. Well, I heard it was that. Okay. I don't want to go out with what everybody heard, because I heard a lot of stuff too. I want to go with what we know, either from the family directly, and we've documented that here, or from authorities. And that's not to suggest that some of the rumors floating around out there might ultimately be proven true.
Right.
We're not at that point yet. There is a hearing scheduled. That's for the criminal case this morning. So we'll monitor to see if anything of this is mentioned in that. 8:21 on Wisconsin's Morning News. A26, Wisconsin's Morning News. What motivated you to do this? This was the Giannis thing, right? He has the movie I know it's not coming out, but it is going to production.
So, yes. So,
is this what you two were laughing at? Greg Pancake Hill produces the program.
Well, because there's a little bit of a formula to these movies.
Anyway, and Eric are snickering all morning.
I don't know if you've ever watched the Ocean's 11 movies.
Sure, okay. Everybody knows
or
that,
or any
right?
of those heist movies. They're kind of fun, and there's always a twist or whatnot.
Brad Pitt and whoever. They're all in it.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
So, Variety, breaking news that that Giannis, his production company, which is called Improbable Media, has a new project that it's working on, and it's described as an Ocean's 11-style heist comedy, much like Ocean's 11, and it'll be set in Greece. And production is underway, slated to begin this year, but everything else, cast members, plot, details, all that stuff, still under wraps. So really excited about this. This is awesome.
So I guess if any other movie house in Hollywood had a project like this out, you'd say, okay, makes sense, checks out, right? But because it's Giannis, it's like, what's his level of involvement?
Yeah, so he's a producer, and obviously, as you know, he's done different movie productions as before. He's been in those documentaries, but he's also, that Disney ran that movie about their lives.
About the sports.
Yes, yeah.
But it's like a treatment.
So Pancake and I started talking, well, what if he was actually in the movie? Because, as you know, athletes are now more performers than ever before, right?
Entertainers.
They are entertainers first, right? So how do you do that? How could you incorporate an athlete into a movie and make it amazing? Well, the only way to find out the answer to that question is to use ChatGPT. So that's what we did. Pancake typed into ChatGPT. I have it written right here. Greg shared this with me. He wrote, write me a movie with an Ocean's 11 plot, but with Giannis as the protagonist assembling a crew of NBA players. And below is the glorious script. I have the whole synopsis in here. The logline is this. When a priceless artifact is stolen from a prestigious basketball museum, MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo recruits a team of NBA stars to execute an audacious heist and reclaim it. But they soon find themselves entangled in a web of betrayal and intrigue. And it gives
us... Of course they would,
there's four acts. So ChatGPT wrote up four acts and then an epilogue about what happens. He teams up with LeBron looking for a golden hoop, which was stolen from the museum.
Okay, that's the artifact. What is this golden hoop?
It is said to give you magical properties to enhance a player's skill.
Ooh. Suddenly, it's been stolen.
It's been stolen. Devastated by the loss, Giannis resolves to retrieve the artifact from the Greece Museum. So he reaches out to LeBron. They recruit some other friends like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, others known for their precision on the court.
I'm going to need a little more from ChatGPT on why they decided to take the matter into their own hands.
It's the only way.
Just calling the cops.
To round
and the movie's over.
To round out the team. They recruit the charismatic playmaker, Chris Paul, whose quick thinking and smooth talking makes him invaluable to the team.
This has, like, Globetrotters with Scooby-Doo vibes.
Yeah, but you could. But I firmly believe, whether you use the ChatGPT version or not, you could actually do this. Like, you could actually find athletes have been in movies before.
Okay.
Even current ones who are currently playing have been in movies before.
But aren't they usually, I suppose this is a scenario where they're largely playing themselves, so you could get past the acting hurdle.
A little bit, but right, you can also find good actors. Man, I'm putting you on the spot, Greg. Who's the actor that's in that Adam Sandler movie? Adam Sandler plays that assistant.
Oh, Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett, but there are others too. Like,
yeah, so actually, but, another example comes to mind, you know, Space Jam 2, so LeBron is in it, but like Damian Lillard's also in it, Anthony Davis is in it, Diana Taurasi, blah, blah, blah.
The reason I bring up the Sandler movie because it's a little bit more of a serious movie. It's like a drama, but these guys are playing themselves, and they do a really good job with it. So can you find a couple of them, and then could you make the golden hoop a real thing and actually have that be like on the courts next year, have Adam Silver involved in some way and actually involve a film, make it a good film, use ChatGPT if you need to, and the rest writes itself.
All of the brothers would have to be in the movie, right? Then Assis is in it for sure.
Absolutely. Right. Get them in a scene, and it can be fun, but also you need a twist at the end.
The scenario that I said earlier, that it's not unwatchable. What you've driven, like, I'm at least interested in hearing more.
If you are curious in reading the treatment, we do have it on our website. Just text the word heist to the WDTMJ talk and text line, heist, HEIST, 855-616-1620. We'll send it to you, and you can see what ChatGPT has to say about the new Giannis movie.
Because the house always wins. Play long enough, you never change the stakes. The house takes you. Unless, when that perfect hand comes along, you bet big, and then you take the house.
Been practicing my speech, haven't you?
A little bit. Did I rush it? Felt like I rushed it.
No, it was good. I liked it.
Live, baby, live. Now that the day is over.
Let's go. 8:47 on a Wednesday morning. They are now coming for the school board.
It is time to clean house, start fresh, and get back to what we're here to do, which is educate our children and build a community that we are proud to be a part of.
And that's a nurse who works in Milwaukee Public Schools, Sarah Gretner. She is talking with TMJ4 News there. The superintendent is out, resigned early Tuesday morning over a potential collapse in funding for the state's largest school district. You also have Tamika Johnson. She's an outspoken community member who's testified at school board meetings before. The two apparently are beginning to connect efforts to recall some members of the MPS board.
It does not all fall on Keith Posey. He should not be the face of MPS failure. The school board should be. A recall is most definitely necessary for the children.
And of course, all this in the wake of the financial crisis that really came into focus only the last couple of weeks. The potential loss of federal funding for the Head Start program and now state funding in jeopardy because the district has failed for months to get required financial reports to the State Department of Public Instruction. School board has a news conference set for 4 o'clock this afternoon, and they better take questions, E. This can't be a stand-up and, well, we're just going to read this statement, and then shouting reporters chase them to their cars.
Like, and that's not unprecedented for a statement to be read, and then we're out.
And then can you talk about the... And we're not actually taking questions.
So if they do take questions, what's the first question you would ask?
So we have this missing information, right? They haven't put forth the information that is a regular standard course of operation for every school district in the state. It's not a little bit late. It's not even months late. It's more than half a year late. Why? Why is it late? Is this what so far we've kind of maybe thought just rank incompetence? But now the more I think about that, okay, we didn't get our stuff done on time. You even heard the executive director for DPI say, sometimes districts are late with this information.
Sure, right.
Maybe that's weeks. Maybe it's a couple months, but they knew it was late. DPI says, we were communicating with them.
There are emails.
Yeah. Got to get this stuff in.
Yeah.
Got to get this stuff in. You even raised the point. Look, they're all on the same team here. This isn't outstate Republicans whining about test scores in Milwaukee and using MPS as a punching bag. Democrats that lead DPI, Democrats in the state
MPS,
house.
Yes. They want MPS to succeed and do well, and they had to have been poking them,
right,
even outside of these emails, you'd assume.
So why is this information still missing? Why aren't they still putting these reports together? Is it not just because we didn't get to it, but is it because we're afraid of what we have to show you? Either there's missing money or they're afraid of what they spent the money on.
Well, we also had that referendum
not
that long ago.
And I think there are other questions of how much of this did you know before you decided to go to referendum? And why didn't you tell anybody about it before you put $250 million referendum in front of voters that only narrowly passed? Many of whom are now saying never would have voted for it if you had been clear and honest with the electorate. I had the question, and I believe the answer is no, but posted to the text line, can we redo the referendum in light of this new information?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
Well, I mean,
Are you, right, did you not get him the information, or are you hiding something?
Right. Okay.
And maybe there's an answer to that. That's fine.
What about what has to do with the superintendent? You're getting a pretty nice little severance deal there, too.
Was it $160,000 to walk?
We had Alan Borsak on, Marquette senior fellow, on yesterday. He said, you know, it would be really unpopular is hearing that the superintendent is taken care of as he leaves, and it appears that he is being taken care of.
Which, sadly, kind of standard. That's sort of how these things dissolve. I guess, look, I agree not to fight this. We're not going to draw it out. I'll leave, but there's something in it for me. And a lot of folks don't care for that. And he technically is still on the payroll till the end of the month anyway, even though he's not running anything. You don't expect to see him around the district office but to clean his stuff out. That's unpalatable as well. Follow-up questions there. But I'm more interested. All right, Posley's done. Fine. What's next? And are there other things? Is there a bigger there to all of this other than we just didn't get the stuff in? And why not? And regardless of the answer to that question, yes, whether or not any of these folks on the school board should keep their job. Dr. Ken mentioned it when he was in with us earlier. There seem to be a couple of school board members that have the favor of the folks who typically show up to meetings and testify and rail on various things. So they might survive it, but others could be targeted. Recalls are hard, though. Sounds like a good idea when you start hollering and when you're really mad. And say, we're going to recall. We've seen it with the Robin Voss stuff in the assembly. It's hard to get a lot of signatures. Now, recalling a school board member, you have a lot fewer signatures necessary in order to force that recall. But there is a lengthy process, and it's hard to do. So,
also, who are you going to get? You know, we talk about that all the time.
Yes.
Who wants to be on the school board?
Right now, you want to walk into that mess? And school board members in Milwaukee, this is not the case in, I think, probably most school districts. But in Milwaukee, they're paid. It's a paid position. They get somewhere short of $20,000 a year. It's like 18 or 19, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so they're paid to do that job. Now, you could argue 18 or 19 isn't enough to walk into that, depending on what your sitch is. But they are those are paid board members. And so the questions are appropriate and need to be answered, and they better take them this afternoon. 4 o'clock is that news conference. 8:53, Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. And my goodness, more rain. These morning showers are moving out. Not much left here on the radar. Maybe a couple of sprinkles here, and then we turn mostly sunny. Showers once again possible this evening. Showers and storms possible tonight with a low down to 60. We're at 72 in Milwaukee.
Still no word on the missing brisket bandit. We've yet to hear whether Eau Claire police have a man in custody for stealing someone's 12 pounds of delicious brisket from their smoker overnight. There's video.
Guy caught on surveillance video walking into a backyard, comes in the gate, takes a little sample, a little taste,
yeah,
and then picks up this brisket and walks out with it.
I don't know if it was premeditated or not. It appears like it was. He had a backpack on.
He's just on his way home from the bar and just smelled it.
You think so? You think he's like a
that's
summer student?
That's for me. I'll take that.
And just took it with him. Just took the 12 pounds. Anyway, we have that video on our website. We also have the entire Giannis heist movie, our idea of what it should be, the treatment for the new heist movie that Giannis is apparently producing. Variety says he's going to produce a heist movie a la Ocean's 11 in Greece, and that production begins this year. Pancake typed that in the ChatGPT to figure out what that would actually look like. So we have that on the website as well. So you can get that. You can get Brisket Bandit and all of the podcasts. Just text the word Vince to the WDTMJ Talking.
Why don't you just tell them where to get it?
855-616-1620. Vince.